I know that she's having a great time, and we're sorry that you didn't know, but it's been a great experience for me learning how. I told her some years ago, I said, you know, if anything ever happened to you and I lost you, I'd have to get married in 2 weeks again. And she said, you'd what? You know, y'all, some of you know her and knew her. And I said, yes, I would. Said, I've had somebody tell me what to do for 40 years. I wouldn't know what to do. Now, that was a joke, I thought. But then she passed away, and I didn't know what to do. So when I came on this trip, my daughter, who lives up the hill from me, and is a clone, she's even worse than you. And she said, Dad, are you about ready to go? And I said, yeah. She said, I'll be down in the morning, check your clothes. I said, all I need is a couple pair of jeans, and I'm in good shape, you know. She said, Dad, Mother wouldn't want you to wear jeans. You're not going to wear jeans. So I said, okay. So she came down and put all my clothes together. So if I look funny this morning, it's because she put my clothes together. But she's a real blessing, and I'm glad for them. For the first time in several years, I had our middle daughter and her husband at the convocation with us this time. And my middle daughter used to travel with Mary and I, and she sings a lot like Sandy Patty, but she didn't sing at the convocation this year, but she prophesied the wheels off everything, you know, and even had the night man in charge of the night having something to say about it. But when the Lord turns her loose, boy, she is something else. So I'm blessed to have them and see God move like he's doing. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited that when Mary passed away, January the 15th, my children, who, you know, they're always supposed to take care of Dad, they said, Dad, are you going to cancel this stuff you've got scheduled? And I said, no, why should I cancel it? Greatest therapy I could have is sharing the good news, you know, and so we did cancel 1 week and then rolled from there. But God's good. Keeps us going. It is a new experience to run down the road by myself. I've had a couple of offers, but I don't want to marry them. Charlie Rogers' wife passed away 2 weeks, I think, no, 2 months before Mary did. And almost the same thing. She just decided to lay down and go on to be with the Lord. And I said to him, Charlie, you found a companion yet? He said, no, I'm letting you handle that. I'm not going to participate. My son-in-law, Paula's husband, is quite a kidder. He said, Pop, you can watch out now. The women all know that you're single. The casseroles will flood the house. Well, so far they haven't flooded the house. I mean, I'm not making a pitch for casseroles, by the way. One of the ladies... You ladies have a unique sense of humor, and I guess you do. I guess that's what it is. You're unique anyway. Let's put it that way. At the homegoing, I laughed later. I didn't when it really happened. But one of the ladies there whose husband had passed away a couple of years ago, she goes up to Paula. You know, we've just finished the service. She says, Paula, if you have any trouble with your father, I'm available. I thought, oh, my Lord. I hadn't even got her in the ground yet, and it's still showing up. But, you know, when you're dashing and handsome and all of that jazz. we're seeing some wonderful things happen. You guys stand up. Let me introduce you to all these people. This is Brother and Sister Klein from Mission. And Brother Klein's a unique man. His wife, you know she is. She married him.
That's right.
But he's the associate pastor at First Baptist Church in Mission. A tongue-talking, aisle-running fanatic. And they made him he's tried to resign two or three times and they won't let him, so I guess he's stuck. Amen. I'm glad to have him here. We've been in fellowship for a while, and he helps me with South Texas. You have to be careful. You're standing around WMF, Jim will tell you, and you look like that you have a little free time, they'll give you something to do. So Charlie Rogers called me a while back, and he said, I'm without a director in the valley. Would you take that over? You used to do it. Would you do that? So I'm now the director of the valley for WMF, but Brother Klein's actually got it. So we're delighted. We get this, see, I don't want to give you a travel log. I've been in Oklahoma twice. I've been in Louisiana twice. I don't want to get my dates come up. But I had one thing on my Louisiana deal I had that I just praised God for. They called me and they said, would you come over? We want you to set the pastor, new pastor, in place. You know, and lay your hands on him and all that jazz. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So I go over there, and when I get there, the one time, hasn't been the pastor there for a while, but he was the original pastor, one of the original pastors, and somebody had called him, and he came in from Tulsa. So we had the power team there. But his wife had also passed away. And she suffered through 2.5 years of cancer. And I was so thankful. I was telling a couple of them this morning that when Mary passed away, we were getting ready to go to Louisiana. She has an aunt that's 89 years old and not in good shape, has cancer herself, and she is the last of Mary's family on that side. And so we were going over to check on her. And Mary said, it's so far. I don't want to go. I said, well, I understand that. But I said, if something were to happen to you while we've got this free time and we didn't go, you'd feel terrible. And I don't want you to feel terrible. So we're going. Well, she said, okay. I said, well, go put your boots on and shoes and stuff like that and get it together and we'll go. I said, when I come back from town, go and get the mail, have the oil change, you know. We guys never do anything early, everything it looked like. And then we'll go have lunch and go. And so I got back to the house and unlocked the door, went in the house, called her. She didn't answer me, which wasn't out of the ordinary because our bedroom and bathroom is on the back end. And you ladies do spend a little time, you know. You're already beautiful. I don't know why nor you put that stuff on your face, but she did. And so I went back there to see she was all right. I got back. She was sitting in a chair by our bed. She had one boot on, sock on the other foot. And I checked her, of course, see if there was any pulse or anything. There wasn't any. So I got her out of the bed, off of the couch, out of the chair, got her in the floor and started CPR, talking to the EMS boys on the telephone, and before I had about 10 minutes there, I guess, where I did it, they knocked on the door, and the guy on the phone said, can you let them in? They're there. So they came in, and they said, why don't you go back in the living room, because we'll take over here, which I did. But they worked on an hour and a half and never got any action at all, any pulse or anything. So I've come to grips with the fact that it was her time to go, And she wouldn't come back if she could, you know. And it's amazing how you say things and they rise up later on to bite you. I told the congregation one time, I said, the scripture says, the apostle Paul says, I'm betwixt and between, or to go on to be with the Lord or stay here for you. And he chose to stay here for them. I said, don't expect me to do that. If God says come home, I'm going to say, bye now. But by the same token, I'll get it in a minute. Got all my brains on it. Thank you, Jim. I said I'll go on and be done with it. But the thing I'm so thankful for, and maybe this sounds kind of sacrilegious, but I know that Mary didn't suffer. Amen. She went. Amen. And I looked at Hugh, and his wife had 2.5 years. Of suffering. The last year was excruciating. My wife didn't have that. I'm so thankful. Matter of fact, after it was determined she was gone, for sure, I told the Lord, I said, I have made a decision. That's the way I want to go. So I'm preparing. I don't know about you. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground, but I'm looking for one in the sky. And I believe we're going to see it pretty quick. Amen? Hallelujah. I think we're going, I've reminisced enough. So shall we move on into the Word now and go? Okay. Let's go to Proverbs. It's kind of funny. As a young preacher, I preached out of Proverbs, the first sermon. Like I never got through. You know, I felt like I hadn't gotten through. That I'd probably preach 2.5 hours or something like that. I think it wound up being 18 minutes. Proverbs 20. A scripture that I had read before, but I had not associated with what I'm going to put it with this morning. Verse 12 says this, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Amen. Now, that's unique. Some years ago, I don't know where you were in WMF when this guy was around or not, but the Four Square Gospel preacher used to come and speak for us at WMF, Dick Mills. And he was a unique person in the sense that he would say, I have a word for you. You'd say, okay. He said he'd give you a scripture. And every time he did that, and then I looked at the scripture, sometimes I don't know what he said, but I looked at the scripture and it fit exactly what I needed. You know, God communicating in that way. Isn't it amazing that God is not limited like we are? He can communicate any way he wants to, do anything he wants to, and it turns out right. But this, Dick brought this out, and he said he checked it out, and there were over 17 references to where hearing and seeing are together. Can I take just a minute and be a little tacky? I'm going to do it anyway, but I like a little approval firsthand. But the thing that concerns me about churches, and as I've traveled around and see this, we preach and preach and preach and preach, and I enjoy preaching, of course. But if we're really putting the Word of God out there where it ought to be and like it ought to be and anointed like it ought to be, it ought to make a difference. It ought to change us and change whatever we're speaking to in that area. And I told God the other day, I said, Lord, I'm tired of this. I want to see some action. You know, now I've got two or three of these preachers up front that are agreeing with me. The rest of you looking like you're a calf at a new gate or something. But and I've been here before. Most of you know me. You've got to get in here with me, or we'll be here all afternoon. I'm from Texas, and I keep drilling until I hit oil. Come on, yeah. Amen? That's right. So you guys begin to respond. When I pause, y'all are supposed to say, preach it, brother, or God bless you, or keep on, or something. You know, we have to respond in some way. But our churches today in America, And Brother Jim travels quite a bit too. He'll tell you, America has some of the greatest preachers in the world today. But America is not seeing the move of God that we had 20 years ago when none of us knew anything but Jesus. You know, we try to go to seminaries and we used to laughingly call them cemeteries. And sometimes I think we'd be better off if we went back to those and going in that area. You know, in my early days, they talked about us a lot, and I came out of the area of signs and wonders and hellfire and brimstone. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember those days. Well, the preacher preached and he busted the bark, I'm telling you. And he might take a little oil or salve or something, put over it to kind of soothe it a little bit. But when you left, you knew you'd been to church. May not be enjoyable, but you'd been there. And you had heard the word, praise God. And you needed to do something in your life to change what that preacher had brought to you. And I'm believing that before Jesus comes back, we're going to have some of the old guys blowing and going now. And I believe I'm going to be one of them. Praise God. And I don't necessarily want to be mean, but if it takes that, I'm ready to do it. Get it in there. But we need to have things happening. Do you ever wonder why we don't have much revival in the churches this day and time? We preach the word and nothing happens. You know, people come into the churches in bad shape. We preach the word, pray for them. They leave in the same condition they came in. It ought not happen. If we're really tied into Jesus and preaching the word that he's given us, it ought to make a change every time in what's happening to them. And we need to begin to see that come back into our churches this day and time to where they come in. They can't wait to get to church.
Yes.
There's a whole lot more people here this morning than normal. Maybe Brother Jim's already got you burning a little bit. I got some. David really responded down there.
I got one.
Well, he, poor fellow's caught. He's related to you. He can't help it. But we need to begin to see that. We need men and women of God who spend time on their face before God, seeking God, and they go into the pulpit with something to share, not just a good story.
That's right.
Amen. I'm a story person. I like to illustrate with stories. But I find out a lot of times I get carried away with my stories and don't really touch the heart of people that I need to touch bad.
Yes.
You know, in that area. We can lay hands on people, and I do that a lot. But I want you to understand one thing. We ought to have the Lord laying hands on them before I ever get there. With the power of the Word of God flowing out of us.
Yes.
You know. I heard the story about the little guy who got saved back here in your thing. And the Texas Baptist Convention was having their situation in Houston. And the guy that was working with him said, "I've made us a luncheon appointment today. Said, I want you to meet this fella. I've met, love him, he's a tremendous man. I want you to meet him." Now, the guy he was talking to was Whitaker, Mr. Whitaker, who's about 6'5 and 280. And they pull up in the parking lot, the restaurant they were going to, and they started getting out the car, and Whitaker told me himself, he said, "I want to get back in the car." He said, "That little guy was standing on the corner there, and I could feel something radiating off of him that has scared the goose out of me." And he said, "I'm a Sunday school writer for the Texas Baptist Association." Before the day was over with. Mr. Whitaker, who still had a position till they found out about him a little later, but he had met John Osteen, and they prayed for him till he came through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that afternoon. And he wasn't all that interested in eating after that, you know, just, of course, he'd ate before, but he was in that position. And it was, what was it? His magnetic personality? No, it was anointing of God flowing in him. And I tell you, I pray every morning. I'm up. I have the ability. I'm retired from as an air traffic controller, and so I can get up in the morning and pray and do things like I want to do. And Mary's gone now. I don't have to put on my pants or anything like that. I can walk around in my pajamas, you know, however I want to. Drink my coffee, and pray and read the Word, and pray and read the Word, and, you know. And I've been praying. So join me in prayer. I've been praying, God, I want a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. I won't affect everybody I touch. Yes. I want them to say, when they pull up to a rested parking lot and they're meeting me for lunch, they're saying, I want to get back in my car. This is radiating off me so hard. Yes. You know, they can't hardly stand it. I know most of you are too young for this, but early on in the Pentecostal movement, when I first came along, we hardly ever had anybody come into church service that wasn't saved that didn't get saved. You know, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, those preachers might not say things right. They might not speak in proper English and all of that jazz, but I want you to know, when you finished with them, you knew they'd been with God, and you had also had a little transformation in your life. Amen?
Yep.
You remember those days, and we used to laugh about a lot of things those guys did. But I'm now just seeking God. God, help me to get where they were.
Yep.
And have that anointing flowing again like that in my life. Now, we pray for people, and they're healed and delivered and some things like that, but I want it so, maybe I'm selfish, but I want it so that I don't have to tell anybody I'm a preacher.
Yes.
But they feel the power of God flowing, you know, in my life. And they begin to come to see what the difference is. Oh, I don't know how to say this, but I love the church. I love the people of the church. The church is God's design. But you know, we go everywhere in the world trying to get things done when we ought to be able to get it done in our local situation. If they got the anointing of God flowing, it ought to turn things around for you. In that area, you know, businessmen that are in here, if you seek God properly, you ought not to have to work hard. You ought to bring him to you.
Yes, favor.
You know, let it go. The favor of God ought to be yours.
Overflowing.
Just running all over the place.
That's right.
God loves us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven.
Yes.
Heaven.
Now, some of you are shaking your head. Yes, but I'm not sure you do. God wants to manifest himself to the in the body of Christ and to the body of Christ and to the world through us. You know.
Thank you,
Lord. I kind of laughed as the brother was reading the thing up here and he'd get a little mixed up. I thought, you know, we think about things like that. And that's so silly. You know. What is it we need to think about? Is the anointing of the Holy Ghost changing lives? You know, as I said, when my early days, you couldn't hardly walk, you couldn't hardly get in sin. Of course, somebody found out about it. You know, I mean, God had revealed it. We had a young lady in the church. I was with Bill Brown, and one of the ladies there was in the ministry, and her daughter came up one time. Mary and I were the youth directors. She came up and she said, "It's so disgusting." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I can't do anything and get away with it. God reveals it to my mama." You say, "Well, that is not nice." I tell you, kept her out of trouble. And I think we need to get back to that where God tells us something about our kids, that we don't have to go to a psychologist or the school to find out what they're into. God makes you know what they're into. I know I'm kind of running around here. I don't have Mary to pull me in straight, so y'all just hang with me a few minutes if you would. But God wants a body, His body, to be the powerful thing that He designed it to be, not what we've made it. Amen. Can I touch another sore spot with me?
Yeah. You're going to do it anyway.
He knows me. I go to a nice church in Temple. We have 3 services on Sunday. The pastor is the presbyter of our district. Say, what are you saying? One of the things that the church does, and he does, which I'm not particularly fond of, he gives an altar call. And it's not an altar call. It's a raise your hands. You know, I've said when I pastored, we're not going to embarrass you. Let me tell you something. Jesus embarrassed him every place he went. Mm-hmm. You know, he called him to make a commitment, a public commitment. But we've gone modern. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. They might not come back. They might get their heart right with God and come back. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing we need to do. We need to allow ourselves to follow God. Not protocol, not what somebody else is doing in that area. Amen. I went down to Pensacola when the revival was going on down there, and the pastor stood up. The thing had been going on 6 months, I guess, at that time. He said, the first 3 weeks of this revival, I didn't even know what was happening. He said, I would come in, and they would lay hands on me and pray for me, and I was out. And I said, God, what are you doing? God said, you're such a controller. If I didn't get you out of the way, I couldn't do anything. Yeah. You know, you'd be trying to move that sucker a certain way.
Yeah.
But God don't want us trying to move it a certain way. He wants us to take time to just spend with Him and allow the Holy Spirit to move. Amen. In this convocation, we had something happen that I haven't seen in years. One of the new board members preached. Black guy from Nebraska. He wasn't from Nebraska to start with. God sent him up there to do a revival 14 years ago, and he's never left. And he's got 5 churches in Nebraska. Now, if you got 5 churches in Nebraska, you better have a good car, because it is a long way. You know, they ain't nothing together except right in the city. And he's not in the city. He's in a town of about 1,200 people. But he preached and preached hard. And then when he finished, he had us all on our face seeking God. Mm-hmm. Seeking God. Oh, church, if I can impress you with one thing, let me do this today. Take time to seek God. Mm-hmm. Take time. You've got a marvelous teacher in Brother Jim, but look, you lean on that too much. You should be seeking God for strength for Him and revelation to flow out of Him, and I know it does already, but you should be concerned for Him and for the people who would drop in here. That God would bless and use this church body for more than what it's ever seen before. I know that John Osteen got saved in the back room back here, but How long has it been since somebody else got saved back there? You see, we need to change our whole thinking in what we're doing. And that's what I'm having to do now. I loved Mary dearly. We were married 61 years. And I know you don't think I'm that old, but she got me young. But other than being beautiful, her long suit was that she prayed. She prayed all the time. And she was never satisfied with me because I didn't pray enough. And all of you know, of course, he just finished his meeting here, but Brother Copeland some years ago was in his office praying, and he came out and Gloria told him, said, "Go back in there, you ain't been in there long enough." You say, "You got to be kidding." Fellas, let me say something to you. You don't miss that little girl till she's gone. And then it's too late. Yeah. Love her. Pray with her. Pay attention to what she says. You know, the scripture says God spoke and said, "Listen to your wife." He didn't want to do that, you know. But God spoke wise enough to do it. Praise God. After Pastor gets through with what he's going to do, I'll be here for a few minutes and we'll pray for you if you need prayer. We're going, God spoke to me three weeks ago, I guess now. He said, "I had you in a ministry in San Antonio some years ago, and you left it." I said, "Sir?" He said, "I want you to get back in it." So I began to seek God. What was I supposed to get back into, you know? And some 15 years ago, I stepped out just like I did right now. Gave in a small church while I was pastoring. It started it. I gave a call for ministry. My whole thinking was I was going to pray for them a little bit and go home, you know. Run out to, we tried to beat the Baptist to the cafeteria. And I got there and prayed for the first two. Everything went fine. Mary hadn't answered the call in the ministry. And I didn't have anybody else much, just me. I started to lay hands on the third one, which is a mousy little lady. And I got spiritual. Hallelujah. I closed my eyes. Glory to God. And just before my hand hit her head, a man's voice came out of her and said, "Don't put your hands on me." Well, there was a guy standing next to her. I thought, well, I evidently got him, you know. But I learned quickly what the scripture means when it says watch and pray. I'll pray for you this morning, but I seldom will close my eyes because I'm watching what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that little woman was, eyes were all scrunched up, and she was mad as a hornet, you know. And I turned out later, found out the devil was mad as a hornet, you know. It says the eyes are the windows of the soul, and man, she's face was contorted and frankly scared the gizzard out of me. But I pulled my best spiritual voice out, and I said, "I recognize you, devil. Sit down over there. I'll tend you when I get through with these others." All the time praying, I hope she left. But she didn't. By the time we got back to her, she the demons weren't manifesting any longer. But I went home that Sunday afternoon, just like we'll do here in a few minutes. I am going to quit. I'm just on my third closing, so I still got a couple. But we went that afternoon, and I did something that most preachers don't do. When I say most preachers, including me, because I didn't do it in that time frame until this happened. I went home and went to prayer. I was more interested in finding out something from God than I was eating. And God spoke to me, and he said, "You're going to let the devil run it? Or are you going to let me run it?" I said, "You got it, sir. You got it. It's your deal. You got it." He said, "No, it's your deal." For the next 6 months, We had a manifestation every service. No matter where we had, I was in a temporary location, and no matter where we had a Sunday morning service like this, and I had a Sunday night service too, or a Wednesday night home group meeting, there was some type of manifestation every service. So much so that the word got around on us. Did you know you go to getting some people free, the word gets around on you? I had preachers call me and say, I'm going to send you so-and-so over there. I want you to minister to him. I said, don't you, you know, you're called to God. Don't you do that? Oh, but you guys are so much better than me. You know, hey, you want real approval. Get the devil moving around, you know, and you taking care of it. And the preachers, other preachers in town will begin to give you their approval. You know, I felt real self-conscious, and my telephone rang at 3 o'clock one morning, and the guy on the phone said, you chase demons over there? Well, first time it happened, I kind of tried to smooth it out. I said, yeah, we do, and if you got one, come over, we'll get you free. He hung up. I don't know where he ever came over or not, but we got a lot of people free in that area. God! You say, what are you saying? I want to see the church of the living God fighting some battles with devil and winning. I'm so tired of the church taking a beating. And I'm sorry, I'm about to get started again here. But I'm tired of the church taking a beating like we've been doing lately. You know. I know we got some mega churches. I used to work in one. Loved every minute of it. Still love the pastor. He's a dear friend. Still love him. Where did I learn deliverance? From him. He wrote a book in 1973 called Invasion of Demons. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, a guy showed up in his morning service, pulled out a 45 and fired at him 7 times, point blank range. You know, the exciting things was it that bullets were in the ceiling. There was a couple behind him that had to go through him, but he didn't have a mark on him. Because the Holy Ghost was there.
That's right. Being in control.
Anointing God.
Lord.
I tell you, do you desire that? I desire to see God.
Yes.
You know, not as Casper Milquetoast, but as, you know, yes, Lord. Lord said, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is that okay? I said, I'm so tired of the preachers looking like Casper Milquetoast. I want to see John Wayne show up in the pulpit. Bless God. Let me have it. You know, in that area, I want to see the power of God in our eyes and in our speech and in our preaching. I want to see the power of God flowing again like it needs to flow. Hallelujah. I better turn it back to Brother Jim. I'm about to get growling again. Go ahead, Pastor.